Welcome to the Camp House Podcast. I'm your host, Matt Busby, and this is our special series focused on local elections for 2018. Over the summer, we are bringing you interviews featuring candidates running for local offices of county mayor, county commission, and Hamilton County School Board. In the end, we hope you are more connected and informed about the men and women looking to receive your vote in August. Today, we sit down with county mayor candidate Aloise Brown. Ms. Brown is challenging incumbent county mayor Jim Coppinger, who has held the seat since 2012. In this interview, we discuss the role of the county mayor, the balance of representing a county that includes such a diversity of communities, from rural to urban, and the challenges facing Hamilton County moving forward. And now I give you our interview with Aloise Brown, candidate for Hamilton County mayor. Well, Ms. Brown, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me, Matt.
Yep, so Ms. Brown is a candidate for county mayor, and so we are going to be interviewing all the different people running for county elections here over the summer. And, you know, I think with you, the first question I think that everybody wants to know is, how do we pronounce your first name?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I've had that challenge my entire life. It's Aloise.
Aloise.
Like Eloise.
Okay.
But with an A.
All right, perfect.
Yes.
Well, so you're running for county mayor, and, you know, I think, you know, I really want to start these podcasts just by learning more about you. So, you know, tell us about yourself. You know, what's your background? Are you from Chattanooga?
I moved to Chattanooga 5 years ago. My husband is an Episcopal priest, and he's from the Diocese of East Tennessee. He's from just a little bit outside of Knoxville in Blount County, and we were called back here. So we met in New York City when he was in seminary, and we were called here 5 years ago. I was 6 months pregnant at the time, and it's been an amazing adventure. You know, there was some adjustment period, but I truly love living in Hamilton County. I love Chattanooga. It's just such a beautiful place to live. There are so many amazing people here that it's been such a joy for me. So yeah.
You guys met in New York. Where were you from before then?
So I have a kind of, I'm from St. Louis, Missouri, but I've definitely grown up almost like an Army brat. My father worked for McDonnell Douglas. We traveled all over the country. So, you know, I've lived a little bit of everywhere, but I could call like my base St. Louis, Missouri.
Okay. Well, so have you ever run for public office of any kind in the past?
No, I've never run for public office before. And, you know, like a lot of people in this country, I was kind of joining this rallying cry of more innovative, intelligent people with integrity needed to get involved in politics because it just seemed like such a nasty world. And I suddenly realized, like, who am I waiting for? And the person that I'm waiting for was maybe me. So, you know, I took my resume to the Democratic Party.
Okay.
And I said, I really find when I go to vote and half of the ticket is completely empty to be a challenge to the integrity of the democratic process.
Yeah.
And it really, you know, democracy as we know it is at risk without choice, without engaged dialogue about the issues. And, you know, here's my resume. I spent a decade managing multi-million dollar budgets for a multi-billion dollar pension plan. You know, I've taken a 100-year-old company and really made sure that it could be accessible, relatable, and to people in our current time period, you know, modernize this 100-year-old company. And whether that was web self-service tools, making sure that the plan itself was revised to more clearly reflect our clients' needs, you know, those kinds of things. So I work with a research department, a communications department, a business-to-business relationship department, and a web strategy department, and make sure that kind of all those things run efficiently and effectively, that the operations are clean, that everyone is aligned to vision and goals. And so when they, you know, kind of heard about my background and the gap in the ticket, one of the biggest gaps was at the top was with county mayor. they, you know, said you should really consider running for county mayor.
So you have a background in financial planning and strategic planning. And really, I think maybe what a lot of people in Hamilton County don't know is that the role of the county mayor is primarily like a financial officer sort of role, correct?
It is. It's in some counties, still actually Ray County, even just next door, it's still called county executive. But it's essentially the chief financial officer of the county and also provides that executive leadership and oversight. It really did seem to make a lot of sense. Yeah. It was maybe a little bit bigger than I imagined my first splash into politics would be, but I do feel like...
What's that been like so far, this being your first time to run, first time to be involved in politics at this level?
It's been amazingly interesting. I mean, my brain is having a party. There's so much to understand and to take in, and there's so many amazing and interesting people who are affected by so many different types of issues, and those issues are deep. A lot of them go back to the founding of our country.
Yeah.
And it's just been like a crash course of a great magnitude in a lot of ways, but also very interesting and very exciting to think about being able to be part of positive change for our county and to address issues that I do think a lot of people want to ignore our challenges in our county, and to really be at the forefront of those conversations. I mean, I do hope to be able to be the county mayor, to be elected in August, and be able to move forward with really addressing some major concerns. But even if I'm not, I'm winning already. Because the conversations that we're having and the people that we're engaging are, you know, it's a vital dialogue that was not happening or was happening in pockets. So to kind of create that larger conversation is really great.
Well, just to push you further, along that road, as you've been canvassing the county itself, you know, what are some of the concerns and maybe even some of the hopes that you've heard from constituents, from citizens within Hamilton County?
I mean, there's so many. In some ways, they're, on the surface, things look pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
But there really are two Hamilton counties. There's two experiences. And the divide between classes is growing. We are one of the worst counties in the entire country for upward mobility.
Mm.
And that's a major issue. We also have... Silverdale Prison was the first prison that was privatized and owned by what's now called CoreCivic.
Yeah, I don't think most people know that.
Yeah, it started here in Hamilton County with Silverdale. We are currently in a 4-year contract with them, but there is debate about signing a 100-year contract.
Wow.
And that just gives me chills and makes me really... I really do not believe in privatized prisons. Mm. I will just say that firmly. I also believe that we have a lot of challenges with incarceration that need to be revised within not only our country, but our county specifically. 70% of the people currently in our jails, which are, by the way, overcrowded and present inhumane situations and environments. So 70% are awaiting trial, and 30% of those are for nonviolent offenses.
Mm.
We pay somewhere between, the numbers I keep getting or hearing from Coppinger and Hammond vary from time to time, but it's somewhere between $86,000 and $95,000 a day.
That's incredible.
Keeping people in our jails. And there is a strong portion of those people that arguably do not need to be there. And there are people that are in there because of, deferred parking ticket payments, not being able to pay child support, really offenses that we as county, beyond the social justice issue, our county's tax dollars probably shouldn't be paying to keep them in jail. So that is a major concern and issue. It's an issue that we've talked about. Also, there is no reentry program for our jails.
Mm.
So the minute that someone leaves our jails, they don't know where they're going to sleep that night in some cases, where they're going to get their next meal. 70% of our inmates are on psychotropic drugs, and they don't have them the day they walk out of jail. It's hard to get a job if you've been invested, if you've had a if you've been in jail. So getting back on your feet is challenging. A lot of people don't know about some of the services that we have, but because of our 24% poverty rate in our county, a lot of those services like MetMen are maxed.
Yeah.
Right? So you have to wait in line, and you might not be seen that day, and it might not happen for a while. So it's, you know, we're facing some critical challenges, and I am partnering in the campaign space with Victor Miller, who's running for Hamilton County Sheriff. And we're collaborating our campaign actually with the three Democrats on the countywide ticket, which is Vicki Schroyer for Register of Deeds and Victor Miller for County Sheriff. And for two reasons. One, the resources in the Democratic Party are super strapped because it's kind of like an atrophied limb in this county. Just there hasn't been a lot of attention to it, and there's not a lot of funds there. But also, you know, because it is a very strong, or seen to be as a very strong Republican field, which we can talk about that in a little while. So we're working together in that way. But we're also working together because the partnership that we are experiencing now will only benefit us in office.
Yeah.
And the way that we can talk about issues and come up with kind of policies together now is very strong. So we've really been working on discussing those challenges and making sure that these issues around our jails, around safety resources officers, around making sure that various issues that we see within our sheriff's department are addressed so that we have a safer Hamilton County.
Yeah, what I love about that example, as far as looking at the concerns of the county, you know, as I asked this question of people running for commissioner district, you know, a commission district, you know, their responses tend to be focused on that district, whereas the jail system is a countywide issue. And so I think that just highlights the difference of the sort of issues that somebody who's a countywide executive versus owning a district, you know, or representing a specific district would kind of look at. So that's that's really interesting. You know, something else I'm pretty interested in with these conversations too is in light of a lot of the recent elections, what's really been highlighted in our country is division, and not necessarily even racial and socioeconomic division. That's a real issue. But it seems like the more critical or fundamental issue is an urban-rural divide within our country. And that presents a really interesting test case for Hamilton County, because we have a fairly large county, but it has a very large urban core. How would you as county mayor sort of try to bridge that gap and bridge that divide that we have right here at home within our own county?
I mean, I think it's complex, but the more that you have an open and engaged dialogue and allow and invite everyone to the table to have a conversation, the more we see that we're not actually very different from each other. And so that, I think, is what I'll be doing. I mean, right now, the county government is not incredibly accessible to people. The meetings are at 9:30 on Wednesday mornings. It's hard to find a lot of information on their outdated website, which I'm assured is being revised. There are just a lot of challenges, and there's not a lot of invitation for an open dialogue. And I will be inviting that. I'll be, you know, creating coalitions to discuss different topics, to kind of bring together someone from Saudi, someone from Ottawa, someone from College Jail, someone from Lookout Valley, someone from Red Bank, someone from Signal, someone from the city, you know, from someone from East Chattanooga, from Brainerd. Bring them all together to have these conversations that we need to be having. What a lot of people don't really kind of consciously think about is that living together in a community, we have a certain social contract, but we allow division to kind of take over, and we make a lot of assumptions about those divisions, because for far too long, people have been, I think for my whole lifetime, afraid of having difficult and challenging conversations. And we have been silenced by a polite conversation, right? We've silenced ourselves.
Not in the South.
Maybe especially in the South. I mean, truly, we've silenced ourselves. If you can't have those difficult conversations with your friends, with your parents, with your grandparents, with your aunt and uncle, who can you have them with? Yeah. So a lot of people, and I said I'd get back to this later, so here it is. A lot of people say that this is a truly Republican county. Well, yes, it has a history of being Republican, but if you look at voter turnout, which in the primary in May was 10%, so 10% of 300, almost 400,000 people, and only 196,000 of them are even registered to vote. If you look at 10% coming out to vote, I would argue that we don't know what people think because they have been taught to that their vote doesn't count. And I'm going to tell you this, your vote matters. Someone, meaning Kathleen Jeter, won an election in May by 15 votes.
That's incredible.
And someone in Georgia recently won an election by 8 votes.
Wow.
Your vote absolutely matters. And quite frankly, if someone listens to me or meets me and they're not sure about me and they want to go with Coppinger, I support them making that. I want them to get out and vote.
Yeah.
I want you to vote. I want you to think about local politics. I mean, really, most people get out and vote for the presidential election or for the big elections in November. Yeah. But the truth is, things happen and start locally. Mm-hmm. And we're affected at a far greater level on the local elections.
Yeah.
But people don't turn out. And the system is created to encourage you not to vote.
That's why the election's in August.
That's why it's in August. That's why we have 3 elections, which happens in virtually no other state, where you have to come out in May, you have to come out in August, and you have to come out in November. And it's a lot of energy, and it disperses the marketing dollars, which are encouraging that engagement and reminding people to get out and vote. So they don't want you to vote. Mm-hmm. They don't. Because I have a feeling when most people do, when most people are educated and truly we have an educated electorate who is engaged in the community, we're going to get a different result. But that's just not what we're facing. So I do, anyone who's listening to this, I probably think is going to vote. But if you can get 5 to 10 of your friends to vote, meet them for lunch or breakfast during early voting on a Saturday. We have 3 Saturdays during early voting. Or go election day together. Make an activity out of it. Make it fun. Celebrate the freedom that we have to be able to vote and to be participating in one of the strongest democracies in the whole world. I mean, we go around the world encouraging other countries to take up democracy, and yet we don't fully engage in it ourselves.
Yeah.
And I encourage you to really think about that and to honor the lives that have been sacrificed for you to be able to do this. And to honor your place as an American and honor yourself and empower yourself to have a voice and get out and vote.
Do you know when the first early Saturday voting is?
It's July 14th. So there's going to be a couple of, we've tried to really encourage and engage a couple of fun kind of like festivals happening near those early voting centers. And one is, a bunch of groups are getting together. So stay tuned for more information on that.
Okay.
But if anyone is interested in doing that kind of thing, reach out to us or to Proud Voter. We're going to be trying to really encourage people getting out to vote and make it a celebration of democracy and of being a Hamilton County citizen who cares about what happens here.
Well, one of the big issues I think everybody agrees is in Hamilton County. One of the things we've been talking about a lot is public education. And so, what is the role of the county mayor when it comes to improving our public education system?
Money. The role of the county mayor is making sure that we prioritize our budget to give the resources to the schools that they need. Now, there is also that executive level oversight of making sure that we're aligned to a certain vision, that there is someone kind of participating and engaging in the dialogue. The school board makes the decisions around the superintendent, and the superintendent makes decisions around the schools, right, along with the principals. And there's, tiers of authority. But there has to be someone, and that is the county mayor, who kind of looks out and says, this is how together we are better. This is what I'm going to advocate for, or these are the discussions that I'm going to have to try to push you to this larger vision. But like any democracy, you know, the county mayor isn't always going to be the voice that they're listening to or that ends up being the deciding factor, but they're definitely part of that conversation. Mm-hmm. They can advocate. But at the end of the day, it's about the dollars. So I released a press release. I was dismayed to see that the county budget only reflected an increase for 7 school resource officers.
7 out of how many schools? It's like,
well, we have more than that in play, and for security reasons, I can't disclose the gap.
Yeah.
But not all of our schools have school resource officers, I find that to be incredible, especially with the threat of mass shootings and school shootings, that first line of defense of giving peace of mind to our citizens mm-hmm. every day is not considered a priority within our mm-hmm. budget. And I could go on for a while about where I would reprioritize certain dollars and find that $3.5 million out of 700 to make sure that our students are protected. But I truly believe that it needs to be done. Now, originally, the argument was somewhere along the lines of, and this is interesting, it takes 6 to 7 months to find the talent, onboard them, train them, and get them situated in the right school. So it could be, you know, the beginning of the school year of if we budget in 2019 for these school resource officers, by the time we're actually able to kind of get them in the schools, you know, find the right talent, et cetera, that could be really truly looking at the beginning of fall 2020.
Yeah. Wow.
Which to me said even more reason to put as many dollars as possible for the amount of school resource officers that we can onboard, right? That we can feasibly bring in. Now, maybe it's not all of them. Maybe it's just not feasible. But Sheriff Hingeman did say that we could bring on at 15. He said 10 comfortably, but I could do 15. Yeah. We're not getting a budget for 15. We're getting a budget for half of that right now. And I'm not sure when this is going to be published, but in the next 3 weeks, the budget is being reviewed by the commission, and it will be posted on June 10th in the Times Free Press, and then they have 10 days to have public impact and feedback. So I strongly encourage anyone listening to this podcast, if they feel strongly about this, to contact your commissioner.
Yeah.
You can find out who they are by looking online, but contact your commissioner, let them know where you stand, let your voice be heard to them, encourage other people to raise their voice, come to a 9:30 Wednesday morning county commission meeting at the courthouse. There's a period at the end where you can get up, state your name, your address, and your concerns. Be heard and make sure that it's heard during this time when they are finalizing that 2019 budget.
Yeah. Well, you know, something that I've been asking everybody doing these interviews is, you know, and you've hinted at this a lot, so I just want to push it a little bit further, but our county elections are partisan.
Yeah.
Right. So do you see that whereas our, you know, local city council or our school board are not. So do you see that as a good thing or a bad thing that our county elections are partisan?
I don't know that I see it as a good or bad thing. I've been thinking about this a lot, especially in light of seeing all the results for other primaries coming in. And California has a very different system, which we saw last night, which is the top two, no matter what party, are kind of put on the ticket. And it's interesting because I think that it's good in some ways because you have kind of these ways for people to kind of basically understand some of the premise of what that candidate might be about. However, many people who are Republican for mostly fiscal reasons, if they assume that they shouldn't vote for me because they're a Republican for fiscal reasons, then they're making the wrong decision because I'm a fiscally conservative Democrat who believes in making sure that we allocate our budget towards the community's priorities. I am a numbers person. I am a goals-oriented person, and I believe in firmly aligning our goals and our budget. So it's very interesting because I'll have conversations with Republicans and they, by the end of it, they're voting for me because they realize that, you know, not all Republicans are the Republicans that, that we think of, and not all Democrats are the Democrats that you think of. Those are polarized archetypes that people get stuck in, right? Yeah. So when you get stuck in this vision of who someone is and what they think based on a label, I mean, how many people don't want labels because they're concerned about how that misguides your impression of them, right? So I would encourage people to not get stuck on party lines with this election, to really try to listen to your podcasts and come out and meet people and think about what your primary stance is and then go from there, because it's not always about party lines. And if we look at it that way, we're just at war with ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
And the community suffers overall.
Right. We cannot be at war with ourselves. This is about having a dialogue and having a difficult conversation is incredibly valuable.
Yeah.
And, you know, at the end of the day, I hope that all of the candidates who are or incumbents who are being opposed by someone, I hope that they're thankful for it because it should make them a better leader.
Well, I mean, I think one question, you know, I'll ask Mayor Coppinger when I interview him, you know, if you were to lose and he were to win again, what's the one thing from your platform that you hope that he takes seriously and maybe incorporates into what he's doing as county mayor?
Transparency.
Okay.
I hope accessibility and transparency. I hope that he really invites the public to and offers the government to be accessible to our people. I hope that he recently said in a in an interview on Talk Money, maybe it was a month ago actually at this point, but that he does not have to adhere to sunshine laws. And there are certain instances where you're talking one-on-one with someone, and yes, so you don't have to adhere to sunshine laws. But he made it as a blanket statement, and it was disconcerting for me to think that he would want to tote that line. And I hope that he, you know, moves the meetings to times when people who work full-time and a 9-to-5 jobs can actually attend, that he makes clear when you're allowed to engage at that meetings and what the layout of them will be, that times for ancillary meetings are more clear, because right now it's like, well, this budget meeting will be after that other meeting. So if you're planning your schedule or taking time out of work or out of your day for a 9:30 meeting and then you want to attend the budget session afterwards, it could be anywhere. It could be noon before it's over. You have to wait around for a half an hour. I mean, it's just not accessible, and it can be confusing as to, well, when am I allowed to talk and what am I allowed to say and how am I allowed to engage? And when you put people in those uncomfortable places, they get scared and then they disengage and they have that flight mechanism. So I know that he is a good guy, and I hope that he offers that to our people, because it is really important that people understand the value of local politics. And one of the ways that they can do that is by being invited into the conversation and at the table.
Yeah. Well, you know, as we look at the county and we kind of look, you know, the next, well, you know, I want to ask you, what else do you see as challenges within the county? Maybe like a short-term challenge and a long-term challenge? I know you've already talked about, you know, the jail system and public education. Is there anything else you would add to that?
I mean, we also have infrastructure issues. So we have crumbling county roads. We have some sewer challenges. We're a rapidly expanding county. One of the most, you know, we're booming, right?
Yeah.
But we're not booming in a very strategic way. There's not a lot of planning. There's a lot of reactive versus proactive behaviors, and that's a challenge, because we need, as unsexy as it is, you know, potholes and sewer explosions, we need our we need our infrastructure to support us. It's the vital network webbing that allows us to work effectively together. And kind of a basic framework for us to engage as a society.
Yeah.
So that also needs to be addressed, and we have some great ideas on how to address them better. We have models from other cities to look at.
Yeah.
So that definitely is important. So that's better schools, better streets,
yep.
better government, safely reducing violent crime, and safely reducing our jail population. Those are truly the premise of my platform, along with making sure that our community's priorities, their needs, are firmly reflected in our budget. And, you know, the budget gets audited every year for financials, but I do not know or have not seen, so it would be interesting to hear, but there's a base operational budget for anyone's budget, right? Of like, what does it take to keep the
sure.
lights on?
Yeah.
But the question that needs to be asked is, which lights need to stay on?
Mm. That's a good question.
How does it actually prove measurable success, or how does it actually add value to our society? Right? How are Hamilton County citizens benefiting from it?
Mm-hmm.
And does it meet our basic needs? And yeah. does it support our values? I truly believe that civilized cultures, one of our primary responsibilities is to protect our citizens. But then we also have the right of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people forget the pursuit of happiness because maybe it's esoteric or,
yeah.
you know, they forget that. But the pursuit of happiness is incredibly important. And when you have 24% of your population living in poverty,
yeah.
the access to that happiness is severely challenged because everyday needs become overwhelming.
Yeah.
Not that you can't be, you know, in a low income level and be happy. I mean, some of the happiest people we see are of lower income, right?
Yeah.
And they find great joy. And the human spirit wants to find great joy. But we need to make sure that we have that network, that framework to really support those constitutional rights, the rights that were created in our county. One last thing that we haven't really talked about a lot, and it is an uncomfortable conversation, but we have some issues around race here in our county. We have a lot of division. There's been some racist rhetoric in some of our papers or news outlets lately. It's a challenge, and it's challenged in a couple of ways. And people, when you really dig into the history of segregation mm-hmm. and the history of challenges that we face around race, it's incredibly complicated. But what a lot of people don't think about that I would invite them to research is that, we like to say, so we have a segregation in our schools issue, which is easy to talk about here and something that's part of the dialogue in this election,
yeah.
right? Desegregation of our schools. So a lot of people will say about that, well, people want to go to schools in the neighborhoods where they live. And we have a lot of segregated neighborhoods, but that is not always as it seems. Like, zoning is historically racist.
Mm-hmm.
The way that housing property value lines
yeah.
and loans happen is historically racist.
Yeah.
In many ways, what people do not realize is that how truly engineered
yeah.
it is.
Right. Yeah. They don't explore the underlying assumptions of how a neighborhood school became that, you know, like the redlining and anything else, you know, pricing people out and intentionally. The loans issue, you know.
The loans issue, zoning issue. So, a community, a housing development goes up. Affordable housing, many people of color buy those houses, lock into 30-year loans, and then certain people maybe don't like that, and they're involved in zoning, and they request that the plot next door to that community be changed in zoning to be industrial, and a factory goes in.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden, the value of those houses decreases. People can't sell them or move. Their neighborhood is now looked at as dirty because it's in an industrial zone now, yeah, or next to an industrial zone. There's a lot of far more articulate people than I about this issue who've written many books about racism and exclusions.
There's a new book that was just published like a month ago about planning and racism in Chattanooga. I can't think of the name of it, but I may put a link to it in the show notes. So it was just published from University of North Carolina Press, a woman who did her dissertation on Chattanooga, this very issue.
Amazing. Yeah. Thank you for letting me know about that. I've been so busy with my head down, I didn't see that. That's incredible. Also, another thing, if you can put in the notes to this show, is the poverty puzzle.
Yeah.
It's, an incredibly important article. And then one last, or there are probably a couple other things, but one other thing we haven't really talked about is what this election means to our county in terms of the type and demographic of people that are running. We have one of the most full tickets we've had in a long time here in Hamilton County. And it's really exciting. We also have one of the most vibrant tickets that we've had in a while. And I say vibrant because we have women, we have people of color, we have people of all ages.
Yeah.
I mean, I think there's someone who's 24 is the youngest, but, 24 on up to 80. So we have, we have a really exciting chance to see this diversity reflected in our government. And it's exciting to see that happen in other places. And I hope that Chattanooga and Hamilton County is open to that as well, because they're... there's a push for that and for many reasons, but the more all of our voices are heard, the better. And there's a lot of research out there that women are very strong leaders, and we've been pushed out of politics forever. I mean, only 100 years ago were we even allowed to vote.
Yeah.
So, now we're actually really making a major push 100 years later to be elected into office, to be able to lead. And we lead our households, we lead our communities, and it's about time that we have some stronger female representation in our county government.
Well, so you've lived in Hamilton County now for 5 years, and so my next question actually falls in line with that timeline pretty well. Looking back at the last 5 years in Hamilton County, what has our county done really well?
We've boomed. I mean, we've brought a lot of businesses here. We've done a great job at that. We have a AAA bond rating, which is definitely, an accomplishment. The only county in our state that has that.
Wow.
Just so you know, that means we have $100 million in reserve, right?
Sitting.
That's why we have that AAA bond rating. But we're booming. We're at risk of being able to keep up with that trajectory because we haven't had that strategic long-term planning.
Yeah.
We've been so graced to have this amazing excitement about our city, being an outdoor city, being gig city. The county or surrounding county has definitely benefited from that. We have Volkswagen, we have Amazon. We have, a lot of housing developments. I mean, every year the uptick in revenue from hotels and increased tourism. We have the Ironman race.
Yeah.
And, we have a lot going on here. Yeah. There is a lot of attention and excitement. There's a lot of energy. We have a very rich and wonderful culture here. It's appealing to a younger demographic because of the quality of life, and the cost of living is so low.
Yeah.
We've done that really well.
Yeah, I think I tell people all the time, one of the strengths of Hamilton County is really the diversity of the economy. Because it's not just the creative economy downtown. It is having Amazon and Volkswagen and then government institutions like TVA. And then on top of that, you throw the tourism industry. And it's a really good foundation for our economy.
It's amazing. And TVA has done some great things. Also, EPB has done some amazing things. They're, you know, both working on renewable energy. They're both working on microgrids and, you know, things that really kind of push us and continue to push us to be at the forefront of the economy. And yeah. that's how we thrive, right? Yeah. We're thriving. You don't want to grow too big too fast, mm-hmm. right? And you want to do that in a really strategic way. And so I think it's time now to take a look and make sure that, you know, the 10,000 jobs that require college education that yep. are coming in the next 4 years, that we have that talent here.
Right.
And if the talent has to come here to fill those jobs, right. that we have the schools to support the children of that talent.
Yeah.
So a lot of the conversation can circle back to the challenges within our schools. It wasn't long ago that we were at risk of losing our schools to the state because we couldn't manage them ourselves. And there's a lot of energy and attention about making them better.
Yeah.
And that conversation needs to continue. And we need to continue to make sure we can live into that vision of being such an amazing, thriving city.
Yeah. All right, Alois, I got one more question for you. I'll get you out on this. So you obviously have a lot of family that's not from Chattanooga yourself. So if your family were to come and say, hey, you know, in 2019, we want to come visit Chattanooga, you know, what time of year would you tell them to come and what would you guys do?
That's awesome. I think the fall is a wonderful time in Chattanooga. It's beautiful. The temperature's perfect. Hopefully it won't be one of those crazy rainy weekends because it can be hit or miss. But I love like the Three Sisters Music Festival, the Southern Bend Yoga Festival. You know, their hiking is always amazing here, which my family always does when we come. But I think that time of year has been one of the best times for them to come. And then I also love having them come in the summer and getting some time on the lake and the river.
Yeah.
We go up to Watts Bar sometimes and Chickamauga and, you know, enjoying the Tennessee River, going fishing and swimming and cooking out and, you know, going to the free live music on Friday and Saturday nights. And it's just a, you know, that's what we like to do.
Well, that's great. Well, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me, and thank you so much for doing this to help engage our community and educate our community in county politics. I really appreciate your efforts, and I thank you for it.
Oh, well, you're very welcome. Hopefully this is a benefit to the community. All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Well, thank you so much to Alois for taking time for this interview. I'm so appreciative of the time that these candidates are carving out in order for us to get to know them better and really hear the passion they have for serving our county. Now, up until this point, I have tried to release episodes in conjunction with the person they are running against. However, at this time, I have not yet had the opportunity to interview current County Mayor Jim Coppinger. I was hoping to wait, but with August 2nd creeping closer and closer, I wanted to honor Mrs. Brown's time and go ahead and release the episode. Now, in the show notes to this episode, you will find links to the Hamilton County Election website, as well as links to where you can connect to Ms. Brown and learn more about her campaign to be Hamilton County's next mayor. And I want to thank Charles Allison at the Chattanooga Public Library for helping to produce this episode. And thanks to each one of you for taking time to listen and get to know the people seeking to represent you in public office. Please begin to share these episodes with a friend, with your coworkers, with your neighbors, and be looking forward to next week when we will release several more episodes featuring candidates running for County Commission and Hamilton County School Board. Until next time, have a great day, and remember to get out and vote for your local elections coming up on August 2nd.